I love Tears of Evan because it means football season is coming, which means 1 week fantasy football from DraftKings is coming. To celebrate the return, DraftKings is hosting a contest with $100,000 in prizes that's totally free to enter. The best part about DraftKings now is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment, and you can do beginner or casual contests where you'll play against people of a similar skill level or even just a group of friends. Of course, they also have the big cash prizes as well that I know a lot of you are into. Just use the promo code FEAST at DraftKings.com now, and you'll be able to play in DraftKings free 1 week contest with $100,000 in total prizes. That's promo code FEAST to play free for your share of $100,000 in prizes only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly!
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! The Tears of Evan continues, and we love it. Wide receivers today. It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of an important position. I don't know how to tell you this. It's kind of important. Anyway, we are presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast, the best odds and fast payouts. We all know he's the star of the show. I readily admit that. Even though I worked my entire life to make it to the NFL, this is the dude that works all day, every day, to give you the best fantasy football content in the galaxy. Make sure you check out Evan on RotoWorld as well as at Evan Silva on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL pretty much everywhere. You know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere at this point. And you are the studs that want to go against Evan and I in the September Redraft League. This week's winners, Justin Christopher, who ordered some Saks underwear using the URL and code at rostucker.com. Congratulations, Justin. And Anthony Combs as well, who took advantage of a bunch of different sponsors. So, Justin, Anthony, you are in the season-long Feast League. Congratulations to both of you guys. We will continue over the next 2 weeks to announce, I think we had six in, and that means there are seven more spots. So three next week, four the week after, seven spots the next 2 weeks to get on the season-long Fantasy Feast Redraft League. As for the MFL entries, today's the last day. Told you guys, you either got in or you didn't. Justin May, SeatGeek and DraftKings, you got the MFL 100, bro. Good for you. Neil Ward took advantage of the SeatGeek, got the SeatGeek app, put the code Ross in. He got one of the MFL 25s, as did Jeff Back, who also bought some Saks underwear and got the MFL 25. The other guys all got some MFL 10s. Mike Kojnacki, Scott LeBruin, Joe Cernak, Sam Walchek, Trent Buckle. I will be in touch with all of you guys via email. Congratulations to each and every one of you. And frankly, congratulations to all of you listeners that get to find out about how awesome Lantana hummus is. Anybody that listens to this podcast, it's Fantasy Feast. It's the Eaton podcast. Well, now you're eating good when you're watching the games and watching how your fantasy dudes do, thanks to Lantana hummus. It is absolutely delicious. I used to always just get whatever the hummus was at the store. I didn't even look at the brand until I was made aware of Lantana hummus. I guarantee I will never make that mistake again. You like stuff with kick? Check out the black bean hummus or the spicy white bean with lentil. So freaking good. I love the cucumber one. Dude, get some carrots. Dump it in there. You can crush food and not feel guilty about it like it's potato chips or something. Look for the hummus with the striped lids in the deli. Go to lantanafoods.com to find Lantana hummus at a grocery store near you.
Next meal.
I know I'll win my league thanks to Tears of Heaven. Yeah, it's wide receivers day. Get fired up. Now, Evan, I know that every position matters. Do you think in the increasingly PPR world that we live in, is it getting fair to say that wide receiver is almost becoming like the most important position? Or would you still say running backs?
It's hard to say that one position is definitely more important than another one, but the lower injury rates at wide receiver, the fact that, as you mentioned, it is an increasingly PPR world, ESPN moved their standardized scoring settings. So like when you set up a league on ESPN, it is now a PPR league. That's big. That's really, really big. If you play dynasty fantasy football, you know, you're playing PPR leagues. I mean, there's not many dynasty fantasy football leagues that are just playing touchdown heavy leagues. And I'm a big proponent of PPR leagues because they increase the amount of skill required to win. I mean, there are, you have to figure out more ways to score points and you know, there are just more points to go around and is less touchdown driven, you know. Jarvis Landry has been a good PPR receiver, even though he doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. And we know that he is good in real life. I mean, he's a good football player. So I think it's more a reflection of real life. People complain about, you know, oh, if you know, this guy gets, you know, he catches a pass for negative 3 yards and he gets 0.7 fantasy points. And that's more than a running back getting like a 6 yard rush. And so that really, really bothers people. But you know, those plays don't happen very often. I mean, they make up about like 6 or 7% of completions are completions for losses. So it's people just cherry picking an argument against PPR. PPR is the way of the present and certainly of the future. And wide receivers are king in this format because of the lower injury rates and because of the fact that in a lot of these leagues, you start three wide receivers and a flex, and you want to get a flex in a PPR league. In your flex spot, you want to get a wide receiver in that flex spot.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, let's get into it. Tier one, you've got Antonio Brown ahead of Julio Thomas, ahead of Odell Beckham, ahead of A.J. Green, and then Jordy Nelson, and then Mike Evans, and then Michael Thomas is in your tier one. That's probably the most interesting aspect of your tier one to me.
Michael Thomas last year was the wide receiver 7 in PPR. That's actually exactly where I have him ranked here. And he was the wide receiver 9 in non-PPR. And now the Saints are without Brandon Cooks. You know, that's 117 targets gone. I like Ted Ginn, and we'll talk about him in a little while and see where he lands in the tiers. I like Ted Ginn a lot as a fantasy pick this year, especially in best ball leagues. But I don't think he's going to occupy all of those 117 targets. And look, sometimes it's just basic. You know, it's Jordy Nelson, he's Aaron Rodgers' number one receiver, and that is not going to change this year. I don't care that he's 32 years old. This guy is – Michael Thomas is Drew Brees' number one receiver. You know, I mean, that's – sometimes this is all you need to know, man. And Michael Thomas is a great fantasy pick this year. You know, I was a little bit – it was just like earlier in the offseason, I was a little bit cautious about Michael Thomas, locking him in as a like a fringe first-round fantasy pick. I just – I don't have any problem with it. I think that if you get a draft slot late in your draft. First of all, I think that the most desirable picks in a fantasy draft are 1 and 2, because then you could get David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, and they're the two biggest difference makers in all of fantasy football. But, you know, all is not lost if you end up at the end of the first round and you just start off with Jordy Nelson and Michael Thomas, you know, and you lock up Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, number one receiver. You know, I think that that is a great way to start a fantasy draft, regardless of if you're playing a PPR league or a non-PPR league. But this first wide receiver tier, these are the elite wide receiver ones. These guys are weekly difference makers. Mm-hmm. For the most part, they are consistent. And, you know, these are the best receivers in football. And in an ideal world, in a PPR league, you would get two of these seven guys, and these guys would be your weekly anchors.
Tier two is smaller. It's only four guys, and you've got Dez 1, Doug Baldwin 2, Amari Cooper 3, T.Y. Hilton 4. It's by far your smallest tier, so I'm curious to get your thoughts. These are the guys that have a chance to be elite receivers, but you're not sure they are this year. Is that fair?
I would just say that this rounds out the wide receiver ones. And when we say wide receiver ones, we mean top 12 fantasy receivers. It actually doesn't round them out exactly. But it gets us to what the top 11 receivers in fantasy. Dez starts out with a really brutal schedule. I mean, he starts out against Janoris Jenkins, who shut him down twice last year. In week two, he will play Denver. And then in week three, he's going to face Patrick Peterson. And that kind of stinks, you know, that when you draft this guy, I don't like getting off to slow starts, you know, in my fantasy football leagues. I always feel like I make better decisions when I'm, you know, I don't know, like 3-2 through five games, or of course 4-1 or 5-0, which would all be optimal. But, you know, I don't want to start in like a 1-4 hole. And Dez Bryant doesn't really help your case there because those opponents in the first 3 weeks are so difficult. And you remember the Scott Barrett episode. Dez Bryant has been one of the most cornerback and matchup sensitive receivers in the league for the past several seasons. At the same time, this Cowboys team's going to have to throw more this year. I mean, they are not winning 13 games again. Their defense isn't very good. It looks like they're going to be without Ezekiel Elliott until midseason. Dez Bryant, over their last 11 full games together, Dez Bryant and Dak Prescott got off to a slow start last season, but over their last 11 full games together, they hooked up for 10 touchdowns. Dez Bryant has been the premier touchdown scoring wide receiver in the league, since he broke out as a sophomore some time ago. So despite that slow start, I'm aggressively targeting Dez Bryant. Doug Baldwin is Russell Wilson's number one receiver. Amari Cooper, expecting him to take a step forward. I mean, this guy has the ninth most receiving yards in NFL history through his first two NFL seasons. And Amari Cooper is younger at this point than any of those other receivers were. And this is his third year, and I think that he does take a step forward. And then T.Y. Hilton, T.Y. Hilton would be in the mix for tier one if we had more answers on Andrew Luck's health.
You know, I got to ask, you're right about Luck. I would say for Luck, my insight as a player would be they typically are optimistic when it comes to injuries. You know, these teams, especially for a lot of different reasons, some of them, you know, commercially, they tend to overpromise and underdeliver when it comes to injuries. Remember when the Flacco thing came out and the Ravens are like, oh, he'll be back practicing in a week. How about no? How about that's not what happened? So I just wanted to make that point that if they're already saying about Luck, well, you know, we're hoping he's back by week one, but it might be a week. Well, in my mind, that means it might be 2 or 3 weeks or maybe even more. So just something, a word to the wise there, because that's how teams usually like to play it with their starting quarterbacks. I do need to ask you, Evan, I saw you tweet about it. I think you said at Evan Silva that drafting Zeke at this point is, you know, a fool's draft pick. He's out the first six games. The thought process is that he'll come back with a vengeance. And I guess there's also some level of potential there that either the suspension gets overturned. I doubt it. Or maybe he can get like a Brady deal where they file a lawsuit and get an injunction for a year. So, there's got to be some place where you'd say, okay, at this point, the risk is worth it.
Yeah, I still have him as a top 40 guy technically in rankings, but I'm not trying to draft a guy who's going to occupy a roster spot until week 8, and I don't even know if I can trust him to stay out of trouble during those 7 weeks and what we have left of training camp. And we've talked about how his situation is not nearly as favorable as it was last year. So I'm going to let other people draft Ezekiel Elliott. I think that, when you're in a draft room and somebody's taking Ezekiel Elliott in the second round, like, they're just trying to be like the smartest guy in the room, and I'm going to let other people take Ezekiel Elliott in the second round. I understand that he has difference making upside, but I'm not into starting slow in fantasy football, and I don't think that there are any guarantees that he comes back and scores like he did last year, and I don't know that there are any guarantees that he comes back at all, because, he wants to be Zeke Elliott, he wants to go live that life, and, he parties a lot, dude, and he's going to put himself at risk of further punishment. And that's not a situation that I want a part of. And certainly with a guy where you have to take him in the second or even the third round, I wouldn't take him in the third round. And you're not even having him for half the season. And who knows what's going to happen after that. I'd rather draft Darren McFadden, in a couple of rounds later, and get the actual Cowboys starting running back.
Tier 3, in order, Larry Fitzgerald, Demaryius Thomas, Terrell Pryor, Golden Tate, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins, Jarvis Landry, Stephon Diggs, Alshon Jeffrey. This is an interesting one because it just feels like some of these guys – have a lot of potential for this year, especially like Terrell Pryor, Allen Robinson, maybe even Cooks. This is an interesting tier. How do you classify these guys?
Yeah, these are all guys with a shot to finish within the top 12. They're not ranked in the top 12. They're ranked like 12 through, 25. But these are all guys who have a real shot to finish inside the top 12. Larry Fitzgerald, I can't believe how late he goes in drafts. He's been a top 10 PPR receiver in back-to-back seasons. John Brown can't stay healthy. Larry Fitzgerald been top 15 in the NFL in red zone targets. He led the NFL in catches last year. He's got a floor of like 100 catches if he stays healthy. He's going to be extremely consistent. And I think that Carson Palmer has a bounce-back season. I love the Cardinals' schedule. Larry Fitzgerald is a cinch draft pick to me in around like the fourth, fifth turn. I'll just take him there every single time and like him in both non-PPR and PPR leagues. Demaryius Thomas, one of the highest floor picks this year. The bubble screens are coming back in Denver. Terrell Pryor is just a complete freak, and the efficiency upgrade he is going to experience going from a Browns quarterback situation that last year completed 58% of its passes collectively to Kirk Cousins, who has completed almost 70% of his passes over the past 2 years. I think we could – Terrell Pryor has like a special season in his range of potential outcomes. Golden Tate, just another rock-solid, high-floor pick. Keenan Allen can be that if healthy, but, the health has held him back. But over his last 16 games, he has 116 receptions. Brandon Cooks, I'm starting to buy in, man. I mean, the drumbeat has been pretty steady here on Brandon Cooks with, you know, showing chemistry in practice with Tom Brady. You know, where they're running difficult routes, or where Brandon Cooks is running difficult routes and they're hitting them. And like it sounds like they've already got some sort of timing established. And, you know, Brandon Cooks, I'm not sure that he is going to be consistent on a weekly basis, but man, I mean, he's got a really big season, you know, at his ceiling. And in this group of receivers, where there's not a lot of certainty, Brandon Cooks, you know, he has one of the highest upsides. Allen Robinson also has a pretty big ceiling. He's got to get back into that touchdown scoring zone, man. And, you know, how many touchdowns are the Jaguars going to score? DeAndre Hopkins, again, touchdowns are going to be an issue here. We're going to see musical chairs at quarterback in Houston for sure. Jarvis Landry, how is he going to riff with Jay Cutler? I mean, I think it could be a great thing for Jarvis Landry if he's able to kind of command that role where Jay Cutler will just feed him the rock. I think things could work out very nicely for Jarvis Landry. Stephon Diggs was on pace for 104 receptions last year, and that's what we're looking for in PPR. And Alshon Jeffrey, you know, the history of injuries and the fact that he's already been banged up are a little bit worrisome, but I gained some confidence in Alshon Jeffrey as a fantasy pick this year when the Eagles traded Jordan Matthews. And I know that, like, Eagles fans wanted nothing to do with Jordan Matthews. I mean, they wanted him out of there. They just didn't like him. But to me, like, because Carson Wentz and Jordan Matthews are so close, they're like best friends, you know, that always – I always thought that Jordan Matthews would have a shot at maintaining a very, very big role in Philadelphia, maybe even still leading the team in catches despite the addition of Alshon Jeffrey. But with Jordan Matthews out of the picture, it elevates Alshon Jeffrey, and it also helps Zach Ertz. You know, Jordan Matthews was a slot receiver. Zach Ertz should dominate targets in the middle of the field.
Tier four is Julian Edelman, Tyreek Hill, Martavis Bryant, Michael Crabtree, Kelvin Benjamin, Devontae Adams, Jamison Crowder, Emmanuel Sanders, and Sammy Watkins.
So these guys are all receivers that could be in tier three, theoretically, but they have some sort of like wart right now, or maybe I don't think that they have quite enough upside. You know, Tyreek Hill, his resume is just very, very limited. I love the idea of Tyreek Hill, and, I mean, I'm not afraid to draft him. But he's in this tier four and not tier three for me because we just haven't seen it yet from him in a number one receiver role. We know that he has major playmaking ability. Julian Edelman, you know, as I've pushed up Brandon Cooks a little bit, I've pushed down Julian Edelman a little bit. Just wasn't good last year in the first half when Gronk was healthy, and now Gronk is healthy, and they added Brandon Cooks. Over the course of the last 4 years, Edelman has averaged almost 12 targets per game when Gronk has been out, but he's under 9 targets per game when Gronk has been in. Martavis Bryant, you know, he still has not gotten that full reinstatement official yet, but it certainly seems like it's coming. And he's been a top 15 receiver in points per game in each of his two NFL seasons. Michael Crabtree, just a rock steady fantasy pick, you know, not sexy. You know, maybe like the AFC's version of Larry Fitzgerald, where I guess nobody likes to draft him, but he's going to help you win your league every single year, and he's going to be a great value. Kelvin Benjamin looked pretty good in the Panthers preseason opener. He's down right around his combine weight. He was 243 at the start of camp, and his combine weight was 240. So I think he's pretty much right where he needs to be. And I do think that Cam is going to have a bounce back year And Kelvin Benjamin can score a lot of touchdowns. Devontae Adams last year did score a lot of touchdowns, and I think he's going to get hit with some regression. But it's hard to really, like, pick apart Aaron Rodgers' number locked-in number two receiver contract year for Devontae Adams. Jamison Crowder, he should be one of the steadiest players in this tier. Unfortunately, he's had a kind of slow, quiet training camp due to a hamstring injury. But, I mean, he can lead the Redskins in catches this year. Emmanuel Sanders he showed rapport with Trevor Siemian last year to the extent that for a while, I mean, it looked like Emmanuel Sanders was overtaking Demaryius Thomas as the Broncos' number one receiver. I think all signs out of camp and preseason point to Trevor Siemian winning this battle again. Paxton Lynch just isn't happening for Paxton Lynch, and I would start to worry if he's a bust. Sammy Watkins, I mean, I just buried him. You know, I just don't really want any part of this Rams offense. I think it's going to be terrible. He's still got the foot, you know, the foot worries and the hip worries. And, you know, I had him as the wide receiver 12, and I dropped him to wide receiver 30. And I want no part of Sammy Watkins. He will be someone I will not draft again for the remainder of the preseason. Unfortunate, because I thought his situation was going to be pretty good in Buffalo this year. It's going to be terrible with the Rams.
Let's get to the next tier, and that is tier number 5. You got Willie Snead, then Pierre Garçon, then Jeremy Maclin, Brandon Marshall, DeSean Jackson, and John Brown. I guess the two that stand out to me there, Evan, are Willie Snead and Pierre Garçon. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Willie's not even playing with the starters for the Saints right now, right? And Pierre Garçon, just knowing, you know, his history, Kyle Shanahan's history with the guy that plays that position, I'm a little surprised, I guess, that he's not in the tier above.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with anyone putting Pierre Garçon in the tier above. I'm not sure how many touchdowns he's going to score. He has never been a big touchdown scorer, but he is in position for a lot of volume in San Francisco. Brian Hoyer has shown the ability to feed receivers with a lot of volume. Of course, did that with DeAndre Hopkins a couple of years ago in Houston. And Pierre Garçon is a great volume-based play. Willie Snead also did not run in the two receiver sets when Brandon Cooks was there, but he's finished as a top 30 fantasy receiver in each of the last 2 years. You know, again, I don't think that Brandon Cooks is going to take the entire role, or I'm sorry, that Ted Ginn is going to take the entire role that Brandon Cooks left behind. So I think that there is going to be some upward mobility for Willie Snead, but I would agree with you that it is a little bit concerning that he's not that full-time receiver that we kind of hoped that he would be, and that takes away from some of his upside. I think the floor is still there, but he is, you know, at one point I considered him to be in that fourth tier, and he's not that for me anymore. Jeremy Maclin can be a target monster this year. He's only 29 years old, and I know it seems like he's old, I guess, but he's only 29, and he can eat targets big time with the Ravens. I think that the Ravens are going to again resort to like a short passing attack because that'll be their best means of moving the ball. I don't think with this offensive line they're going to be able to run the ball, and I think there's going to be a lot of Maclin and Danny Woodhead this season. Brandon Marshall, just don't really know what he has left. And don't know what Eli has left, and that leaves him in this kind of an ugly tier five. DeSean Jackson is, you know, I love DeSean Jackson in best ball, and then in season-long redraft, he's gonna be a little dicey. I think that's always the case with DeSean Jackson. Never a bad third receiver play, but can definitely have some really low floor weeks that hurt you, and you need your other guys to step up. John Brown, I mean, I'm going to have to move him down, you know, because, and he's in a position to have such a great opportunity. This is a contract year for John Brown. The guy just can't get his health right, man. And, you know, I'm not sure at this point, is that even a possibility anymore for him to get his health right? Because he's had a slew of soft tissue injuries since entering the league, certainly since the diagnosis of him having a sickle cell trait. And, you know, can he recover? I mean, it's hard to play in the NFL, man, and you cannot do it at like severely less than 100%. So, you know, John Brown, he was a guy I was picking a lot of, you know, at one point, and I don't feel very confident about him. He's going to have to move out of this tier.
Tier six, Dante Moncrief, Eric Decker, Tyrell Williams, Randall Cobb, Devontae Parker, Cameron Meredith, Kenny Britt, and Corey Davis.
Yeah, this is another sort of like ambiguous tier where guys definitely have some upside, but they need to like hit, like they're like breakout candidates. You know, Corey Davis, of course, is a rookie, the number five overall pick. Dante Moncrief, we've been waiting on now for a couple of years. Eric Decker is on a new team. Tyrell Williams, we saw what we did last year. That was without Keenan Allen, and now Keenan Allen is back. Randall Cobb, he has stunk for the last 2 years, but he has a locked-in role in an Aaron Rodgers offense, and he's cheap in drafts. Devontae Parker, you know, the beat writers love him with the Dolphins. You know, could he become the next Alshon Brandon Marshall for Jay Cutler, where, you know, Devontae Parker at Louisville, he was a clasher receiver, and he could win in a contested game. And, you know, can Devontae Parker establish that with Jay Cutler, where Jay Cutler is willing to throw him the ball when he's not open? That would be huge for Devontae Parker. Cameron Meredith, you know, we don't know how is he going to work out with these quarterbacks. When is Mitchell Trubisky going to play? Is he going to be as good on the outside as he was in the slot last year? His separation numbers at Next Gen Stats, by the way, has some great stats on NFL.com. His separation numbers were pretty poor as an outside receiver last year. And if they're going to ask him to not be a slot receiver anymore, he may not be able to create as many mismatches as he did last year. And I don't know what, you know, the quarterback situation makes you feel uncomfortable about Cameron Meredith. And are they going to feed Kevin White targets again? Kevin White averaged 9 targets a game when he was active last year. That would be a big issue for Cameron Meredith if he comes back and starts getting a bunch of targets. Kenny Britt right now looks like the number one in Cleveland, which, hey, if DeShone Kizer comes along, then it looks like they're going to have a better quarterback situation than we may have anticipated.
Yeah, that, and man, I spoke to Greg Cosell recently, and he was pretty impressed with what he saw from Kizer initially. Tier seven, Adam Thielen, Ted Ginn, Tyler Lockett, Mike Wallace, Marvin Jones, and Corey Coleman. Another kind of eclectic group there. You know, Thielen and Ginn, just those two guys.
Yeah, these are wide receiver 4/wide receiver 5s, really wide receiver 4s with a chance to finish as wide receiver 3s. Adam Thielen, according to a bunch of efficiency stats last year, was the best receiver on the Vikings over Stephon Diggs. Ted, and then the Vikings signed him to an extension. I mean, he's a big part of what they are going to do going forward, and he's a good player. Ted Ginn, he is the guy running in 2 receiver sets right now, right opposite Michael Thomas. Well, I don't think that he's going to get 117 targets like Brandon Cook saw last year. I mean, something in the 90s from Ted Ginn playing with Drew Brees, you know, he's going to be a guy that we're talking about in daily fantasy. I fully anticipate this year he's going to be someone that we're talking about as a weekly redraft start. Ted Ginn is a guy who I think you enter your draft, and he's cheap enough that, you know, you just take him in the 10th round and, you know, you take him in the 10th round every single draft. He's a really, really good fantasy pick. Tyler Lockett is coming along from a health standpoint, and he has a chance to be a starter in Seattle. I think he'll ultimately settle in as the 3rd receiver behind Paul Richardson and Doug Baldwin. And they will not use him as a full-time player because he's so valuable to them on special teams. But he's certainly a guy that you can get, you know, 10th, 11th round, and he gives you some upside, and he's a great best ball pick where he's super cheap. Mike Wallace has been a top 30 fantasy receiver in 7 of his 8 NFL seasons. He's going to end up being a value. Marvin Jones, you know, do we have to start worrying about Marvin Jones losing his job to Kenny Galladay? This is a situation to monitor for the rest of the preseason. Do we see Kenny Galladay playing first-team snaps with Matthew Stafford in that third preseason game, that regular season dress rehearsal? Corey Coleman, again, these Browns receivers can ascend if DeShone Kizer shows that he can play.
That's a really good point about Galladay. He was impressive as it relates to Marvin Jones. Tier 8, you've got J.J. Nelson, Rishard Matthews, Josh Doctson, Jordan Matthews, and Sterling Shepard. What was the impact of the Jordan Matthews trade from his standpoint in terms of what tier you have him in? Or is he still where he would have been even when he was with the Eagles?
Well, what would have been nice if he didn't show up with a chip fracture in his sternum and he can't even practice with his new quarterback. So, you know, these guys are just like double-digit round picks, that, and they have a shot, you know, an outside shot to help you. Rishard Matthews, I think, gets really hurt by the additions of Corey Davis and Eric Decker. Josh Doctson, unfortunately, has not been able to stay healthy. You know, these guys, man, like, Josh Doctson and Brashad Perryman are so frustrating because they have a lot of opportunity and they had a lot of talent coming out of college and they just cannot stay healthy. Sterling Shepard, he has a low ceiling this year unless Brandon Marshall gets hurt. And then J.J. Nelson has actually been running behind Jerron Brown at Cardinals camp. But, I mean, J.J. Nelson, he brings a little bit more to the table than Jerron Brown. And I think ultimately J.J. Nelson is going to be in 3 receiver sets, regardless of what happens with John Brown. I think it'll be Larry Fitzgerald, J.J. Nelson, and John Brown if John Brown is healthy. And if John Brown is not healthy, then it's probably going to be Larry Fitzgerald, J.J. Nelson, and Jerron Brown. And J.J. Nelson can give us big weeks.
What about Tier 9? You've got 2 more tiers, Tier 9 and Tier 10. Tier 9 is the most heavily populated tier. A lot of names coming at you. Brashad Perryman, Kevin White, Devin Funchess, Kenny Galladay, Josh Gordon, Cole Beasley, Paul Richardson, Mohamed Sanu, Kenny Stills, Taylor Gabriel, Chris Conley, Anquan Boldin, Zay Jones, Robbie Anderson, and Marquise Lee. The marquee names in that group to me, I guess, Evan, that I'm excited to get your thoughts on would be Kenny Stills, you know, now that he's got Cutler there and the impact that might have on him, and Robbie Anderson, who looks like he might be the Jets' number one.
Yeah, and Robbie Anderson is also at risk of suspension after an offseason arrest. You know, there are people that want to draft Robbie Anderson, and I get it, you know, but he's not – I mean, it's going to be tough for him, I think. You know, he was a Bryce Petty creation last year, and the guy can run and get behind the defense. Like, don't get me wrong, but is there ever going to be a situation where you have a comfort level and a confidence level relying on Robbie Anderson – as a fantasy start in a redraft season-long league? I don't think so. And that's why I have him pretty buried, even though he does kind of look like the Jets' number one receiver right now. Josh Gordon, I'm interested to see what happens. He's going to have a chance at reinstatement before the start of the season. And I think that he's worth a shot in this group, you know, and that's what this group is, just guys that are worth a shot late in your draft. Devin Funchess, I think, is worth a shot. He is running as the Panthers' clear number 2 receiver, and he has 10 touchdowns on 59 career catches. I mean, if he repeats that and catches 59 passes this year, which isn't really a lot, and he scores, you know, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, he's going to obliterate his ADP, which is, you know, in the in the tank. And then you mentioned Kenny Stills. I would say arrow down on him. You know, he scored 8 touchdowns last year. That's probably not going to happen again. Cutler does have a strong arm, and he's going to be willing to rip it. And that's going to be a big part of the Dolphins passing game, which is going to be a low volume passing game that will take some shots downfield. And Kenny Stills has a role, and I think he's going to be a better reality than fantasy football player.
Finally, we've got tier number 10, and it is Alan Hearns. Remember that guy? Chris Hogan, Robert Woods, Curtis Samuel, Ardarius Stewart, Laquan Treadwell, Tavon Austin, Malcolm Mitchell, John Ross, Will Fuller, Mike Williams. I got to tell you, Evan, all the my fan MFL leagues we've done, even the my FFPC league we've done, I've gotten a lot of Robert Woods because I felt like, you know, Sean McVay brought him in there for a reason. He's a guy that I thought would get pretty solid volume considering who else the Rams have. Now I'm feeling not nearly as good about all my Woods picks for a couple. And I was getting him in a later round, but number one, you have him in tier 10. Number two, them getting Sammy Watkins really probably hurt me, didn't it?
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, Sammy Watkins can get hurt again, you know. So, I mean, you know, this new set of trainers has never dealt with his foot in the past. I think one of the biggest problems really for Sammy Watkins, though, was the Bills, like, pushing him to play through this injury. So maybe they, you know, hopefully things work out for Sammy Watkins, but he's still a major, major injury risk. And that would be an avenue for Robert Woods. But I agree with you that right now, he takes a hit there. This is just a bunch of names. I mean, Curtis Samuel's a second-round pick, you know, hasn't practiced with the Panthers because of a hamstring injury. Ardarius Stewart had multiple off-season surgeries, groin and thumb. Haven't seen or heard much of him at Jets camp. He has been practicing, and he's got a lot of opportunity theoretically. John Ross, just hard to envision a big role for him as a rookie. You know, he should help the Bengals, but using him in fantasy leagues probably not going to happen. Tavon Austin was moved to the number 4 receiver. You know, he was going to play that DeSean Jackson role, right? But now they got Sammy Watkins, somebody who actually is capable of playing that DeSean Jackson role. And Robert Woods will be the Pierre Garçon, and Cooper Kupp will be the Jamison Crowder. Cooper Kupp, by the way, looked really good in the Rams preseason opener. And even after they acquired Sammy Watkins, I'm not entirely I think Cooper Kupp could lead this team in targets. Like, dude gets open. And he is going, and I think that it's easy to, like, imagine a scenario where Jared Goff, as, like, a short area, short ball thrower, has some chemistry and confidence and, you know, a trust and a level of, like, on-field rapport with Cooper Kupp more so than any other receiver on the Rams roster this year.
I love it. I love 10 tiers. Lots of names there for you to digest. Go back and listen to it twice if you have to. It is that good. Almost as good as not having to worry about the money and hassling your friends and family for fantasy league entry fees. There's nothing more annoying, especially when you're hassling, and these are your friends and family for money. It's not fun. Completely free to use, TeamStake is revolutionizing this process. They don't take a percentage from the pot. They don't require a subscription. They don't charge any fees to use the service. Free payment and payout options for all leagues. Safe and secure transactions. Fully customizable. Payout allocations can be verified. Optional late fees if you want them to help convince the league's dudes to pay on time. You might as well. I would do that. Crack the whip, dude. Anyway, visit TeamStake.com today to get started. That is teamstake.com. I am so excited. Next week, we will have Evan's quarterback tiers of Evan. And the week after that, my O-line Tears of Evan, which I guess should probably be called Tears of Ross, but whatever. Can we play this song one more time, Bri? We should close and end the segment with Tears of Evan every time. I know I'm now going to win my league, or at least not get last, have to do something gross, because the Tears of Evan. Yeah, I am stuffed. Cannot wait for next week, quarterbacks. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.